let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. Thank you for joining us on the program. Racism and healthcare disparities have always been a problem in the black community, especially small country towns. The highly praised memoir, The Impossible Dream, by Dr. Jasper Fuller Jr., illustrates how a poor black boy, at the age of 12, watched his mother almost die from the lack of adequate health care from a white doctor. He promised his mother that one day he would become a doctor so that blacks would not have to suffer from the lack of adequate health care. That promise to his mother was an impossible dream. Well, by reading The Impossible Dream, you will learn how the miracles of God navigated his crooked journey and how the impossible was made possible. Jasper Fuller Jr. was able to obtain a Bachelor of Science, Master of Science, 2 years on a PhD program before completing a medical degree. Along with other healthcare providers, he was able to organize a not-for-profit organization, the Black Healthcare Coalition, to decrease healthcare disparities in the black community. Dr. Jasper Fuller Jr., author of The Impossible Dream, joins us on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you very much.
This is going to be, I'm really looking forward to our conversation. There is so much that you've done with your life in helping other people and such an illustrious career that you've had. Let's talk about writing the book, The Impossible Dream. What motivated you, inspired you to write a book at this stage of your life? Why did you decide to write The Impossible Dream?
Well, at my stage of my life, I felt like I would not have very much more time to impart this information to young people and to my general audience. So I felt like I had to put it on paper. So I decided to write this book to try to inspire and motivate young people, especially those that find themselves in situations similar to what I had to go through in life.
What was it like when you went back and wrote this book? And I'm sure you're going through your mind, maybe doing an outline of your life and what you've gone through and where you are today. What was it like going back through your life and maybe stepping back and realizing, boy, I had all of the odds against me. This really was an impossible dream, and you made it happen. What were the feelings like as you were writing this book?
Well, I could not really figure out how I was able to navigate through some of the things that I had to go through. The hardship, the financial situation, and also, to be honest, there were some educational deficiencies that I had to overcome, coming from a small school and environment that was not really very, very motivating for a person educational-wise. So I had some catching up to do.
And you caught up, and then you took off and excelled, and it's all in Dr. Fullard's book, The Impossible Dream, by Jasper Fuller, that's Fullard, Jr., M.D., and the book is available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places, a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Doctor, what is the message you hope that readers take away from reading The Impossible Dream? It's such an inspirational story. What do you hope the takeaway is?
I hope that the reader of this book will take away that my story, that a poor boy from a poor environment, could somehow dream and have goals and be able to reach his goal. I felt like there was no situation that I could not overcome when I considered my Christian background and having faith in God. So having that playing a role in my life, I felt like I was able to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish.
And you've done that and so much more. Dr. Jasper Fuller Jr., our guest, the book is The Impossible Dream, His Story. What audience do you hope to reach with this book? And I ask that thinking, boy, there's something there for all of us. There's motivation there that we all can use. And for some, it's a wake-up call to realize, where we were as a country and sort of look at it where we are now. Have we made a lot of progress? And we'll talk about that later. But what's the audience? Who are you targeting the impossible dream for?
I have a special interest in our young people, and specifically those who have an interest in becoming physicians or going into the medical profession. I developed a program in my church, actually, to try to help motivate those young people to dream, have big dreams, and to dream of going into medicine and being able to help the problem that we're having in our Black community, the health problems and the disparity that we have in terms of health care. I think this is very important. Unless we motivate our young people to get involved and take an interest in doing something about this, I don't think that much is going to get done. So I would love to have this book serve as a means of motivating these young people to do something specifically in healthcare.
The book is The Impossible Dream by Dr. Jasper Fullard, F-U-L-L-A-R-D. Book is at Amazon, all the usual places. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I'd like to talk about some of the challenges you had along the way, some of the obstacles you had. You mentioned a large family. Poverty was a factor as well. It wasn't like, okay, Jasper wants to go to medical school. I'll write the check and we'll ship him off to medical school. Talk about that. First of all, the family size and the poverty issue, because those were two huge obstacles for you, weren't they?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I'm from a family of 11 children. And my mother raised us pretty much on her own. My father was an alcoholic, and they divorced early in my life. So it was left to my mother to raise all 11 children. Plus, I had relatives and sisters who had kids, and my mother ended up raising her kids. So she ended up raising about 6 grandkids along with us. So we all lived in this one small house, and very small income. Our income actually came from our own effort working in the field. We picked cotton sun up to sun down usually, and this was something that we had to do, and this is our way of earning our living at that time. And we had to pick cotton actually through November and part of December of every year before we went to school. While the other students were in school, we were picking cotton, trying to support our family. And the students wonder how we were able to endure, because usually we would be number one or number two in the class. And it was because of a strong mother who insisted that we get our lesson and catch up on whatever we need to catch up on after we came out of the field from picking cotton every day. So I actually give her the credit for our success. And I think we as a family has been very successful in that most of us have gone on for further education and has developed a decent life for ourselves. So it was difficult, but quite rewarded at the end.
What a tribute to your mother, the success that you've had and your siblings have had. Our guest is Dr. Jasper Fullard. His book is The Impossible Dream. Another strong woman in your life has been your wife. Talk about her and how important it has been to have her by your side as you've attained everything you have in your career.
Yes. In order to accomplish what you want to accomplish, you need someone who's going to be a positive force in your life and going to be by your side, whatever you want to do or need to do. And that has been my wife. I think it was very fortunate that I ended up in the situation I did, obtaining a job at a hospital on campus as an orderly and a janitor, because this is the place where I met my wife for the first time, and we later got married. And since that time, she's always been by my side. She's been there to work and take care of the family when I was in school and trying to get an education. So I can't help but give her at least half of the credit for whatever accomplishment that I have made in life.
Talk about that, being a father, being a husband, and having that to juggle with medical school, which is incredibly difficult, and at the same time, pay the bills so you can stay in medical school. What was that for you, juggling all of this?
Very, very difficult. While the other students in med school, for an example, were able to go to the library or different places and study after class, I had to rush home and relieve my wife of babysitting duty so she could go to work and try to make a living for us. So she would work at night while I would go to school during the day. And then I would try to study, actually, while she was at work and trying to keep two boys and one girl quiet and happy during the day. That's not an easy job to do. But that was something that we had to do in order to succeed.
I mentioned in the beginning the educational background, the Bachelor of Science, Master of Science, 2 years on a PhD program, and then completing your medical degree. That is a lot of education that you were able to do coming from the economic conditions that you did. How did you do that? And did you ever think I would be able, going back to you as a child, that I would get all of these degrees and people would end up calling me doctor at some point in my life? That's a lot to overcome there as well.
I never dreamed that that would happen, actually. As I indicated before, I started off working my way through school, which I worked a five-year program, which was a program that will ensure that if you work 32 hours a week, 5 years, you would attain your degree. So I was able to do that. And I don't want to give anyone the impression that you need to get a BS, a master, and 2 years on a PhD in order to become an MD. That's not the usual way that you do it. Usually, you can go directly from a undergrad into med school. However, when you are trying to navigate your way through a financial situation like I was, you had to go the direction that you could. And that led me to first a master program, which allowed me to get a job at the Stillman College as an instructor there. And by obtaining this job, a year or two later, I was offered a position where I could, if I wanted to, accept a scholarship to University of Wisconsin to work on a PhD in anatomy and physiology, which I readily accepted. And there I later on saw my path to medicine. I decided that I really didn't want to be a PhD teacher, an anatomy teacher. I really wanted to be a doctor. That's what I had promised my mother. And that's what I really want to do. And in Wisconsin, I was assisted by a professor in teaching the other medical students in histology and embryology. And that's when I really got that feeling that I can do this. And I asked my professor about his support and me switching over to medicine. And that's how I ended up actually eventually getting into med school.
It's a remarkable story, the story of Dr. Jasper Follard Jr. His book is The Impossible Dream. If somebody thinks I come from poverty, our family does not have a lot of money, I have a low self-esteem, I don't think I could accomplish that. You actually did that. What message would you have for them that they think these are obstacles, and they're definitely obstacles, but obstacles that can be overcome? What message would you have for those who doubt they can attain what you have?
There are a lot of, especially young black students who have the low self-esteem because there are so many things that they wish they had, they don't have. The school surroundings are very poor. And having a poor environment at home, all these things tend to affect them and make them feel less than the other students, and it affects their self-esteem. I certainly had that problem, and also in some case felt like I had some brothers and sisters that in better shape than I was in. So all of these things played on me. However, I had to find a way to overcome this low self-esteem problem. And I did that by playing basketball. I became a very good basketball player, which gave me more of a force and interest. And actually felt like I could talk to girls and I can be more outgoing with other people. So self-esteem plays an important role in one's life, and one has to figure out a way to overcome their low self-esteem problem.
Interesting, you did basketball, which helped you propel to this remarkable medical career that you've had and helping so many people. And we'll talk about that in a second. But another part, as you're reading the book, The Impossible Dream, an important part of your life has been the spiritual guidance, the faith that you've had. Talk about that, because with everything else, if you don't have that faith there, sometimes you can't bring this to fulfillment.
That's correct. Yes, as I mentioned before, we actually was a spiritual family. My mother would always insist that we go to church and Sunday school on Sunday morning. And we grew up in the church, and I became a superintendent of the Sunday school and participated in church activities. So I had a foundation of church before I left home and went off to school. And after getting married, my wife had the same idea. We will always find a church that we can attend and participate in. So I maintain my Christian belief and my relationship with God. And I had to use that relationship many times to get me through many different kinds of situations. So I believe religions and one's belief that plays a significant role in whatever they do. And I certainly think it played a role in my life. Made the impossible for me possible.
Which is the title of Dr. Fuller's book, The Impossible Dream, the book available at Amazon, the usual places. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about who you credit your success for all that you've had, the education, the following the medical dream, giving back to people in your community. Who do you credit that for?
Well, I have to go back to my mother and the way that she were able to relate to the community. She always was open for the community, and people will always come in. And when we didn't have enough food, she would still share with the community. So I came up with that kind of feeling that I needed to support the community. And of course, after receiving the MD degree, I felt like I needed to do something to help get over some of the healthcare disparity that we have in the Black community. So I joined up with several other medical professionals, and we developed the organization called the Black Healthcare Coalition. That was in 1987. That organization has been functioning ever since then. And I have remained on the board ever since then, and most of that time I was chairman of the board. I feel very good about that. I feel like this was an effort that we could get rid of some of the problems we were having in terms of blacks dying earlier than non-blacks from chronic diseases such as hypertension, diabetes, and cardiovascular problems. So this is something that I felt like I had promised my mother that I felt like I was able to fulfill.
It's a nationally recognized organization, the Black Healthcare Coalition, doing symposiums, chapters organized around the country that Dr. Fuller was instrumental in helping to set up. When you look back at this disparity, and you were talking 1987, so we've got 35 years of the Black Healthcare Coalition, are we making any progress?
Yes, I believe we are. Although you never feel like you made enough
Yes.
progress because the problem still exists. but I feel like we are making progress. I think the people in the community and around, actually in many states around this community and in the country, are aware of what we're doing, and at times reach out to us to assist them in doing the same type of programs. So I believe that we are making a difference.
What is it like when, with the organization, you're giving tests and people may not be able to afford the test or have access to them? They find out a health condition in some cases it could be fatal, and they're able to rectify that because of what you've been able to do. How rewarding is that, that you're able to probably, undoubtedly, save lives?
Yes, this has been quite rewarding. Now, in a number of cases, we have noticed that, and we have been told that we have made a difference in a lot of the patient's lives. And I've also felt good about my own practice in medicine, wherein I would always allow those patients who could not afford it, I still would see them and take care of them. I just felt like I was obligated to some extent to do what I could to help people who did not have. I could sympathize a little bit with them, knowing my situation and what I came up through.
A couple minutes left in the program. When you were 12 and you witnessed what you did, almost losing your mother, and you made that promise at the time, did you ever think it would turn out not only fulfilling that promise, but helping other people along the way? When you were, sometimes we say things at 12 and realize later, wow, I'm not sure that I could fulfill that. Did you think at the time that I can do this? I can be a doctor and save people?
No, I don't know why I made the promise to myself at the age of 12. I think about it now. I don't know why I made that promise. But I guess it was just a reaction to what I was seeing.
Yes.
And I displeased of the way that she was being taken care of. And I just came out that way, that I was going to be a doctor one day. Had no idea how I was going to do that. And my mother looked at me like I was crazy. Boy, you never become a doctor. You'd never get out of Wren, the small town that we were in. So, and that's why I think she had such of a concern about me leaving home, going off to college. That was something that I had to decide to do on my own, because my mother would not approve of me leaving home, going off to college, because she knew I didn't have the money to do that with. I left home with the $100 and some dollars in my pocket, and when I needed $300 and something to register, and I just told her that I have enough money to get there and to get back, and I'm going. And I packed up my few little pieces of clothes and got on the bus and went to Tuskegee.
That's an amazing story. Sometimes you just have to do it, don't you? And you've done that and successfully done that. It's been such a pleasure to have on the program Dr. Jasper Fullard, Fullard Jr., MD. He, the author of The Impossible Dream. The book is receiving rave reviews and helping so many people. Dr. Fullard, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Your mother would be proud. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. Congratulations on all the good works that you've performed and continue to perform in your lifetime. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Our guest on the program, Dr. Jasper Fullard. The book is The Impossible Dream, available Amazon, wherever books are sold. You're listening to, and we have it on our website, you're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.